Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Thomas?
Thomas doesn't know who he is this today. Thomas, are you okay?
I was just thinking about news anchor shows where they add question marks.
I almost said, I'm Jonathan, and then I realized I was about to say it, and I didn't. But I always do that, so it's a given.
Yeah. Our intro is a mind worm. It's getting in your brains. It's
messing with me, man.
My 9-year-old now walks around the house, and he'll be like, dun, 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 dun. Yep. He's never seen the movie.
My 10-year-old does that, too, now. Every time he hears it, he's like, dun, 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 dun. But he's seen all of them, so, except for, I think, the first one. I don't think he's seen the first one.
Well, he's a year older. 9 is when you start introducing your child to Spycraft movies.
Yes, yes. He went to see the last one with us at in the IMAX, so.
And my daughter is definitely humming Never Ending Minute story, but that's not quite the same.
The Never Ending Story.
Exactly. And if you were on my show, I'd add that in at the end.
Well, we didn't know each other then.
I just added it to my iPod, so, you know, it's all good.
Well, enjoy.
No, that was before BT, before Thomas. I didn't know Thomas at the time he was doing this. Otherwise, I would totally have been on that.
Yeah, that's an awesome one.
This minute, well, it's dead now, okay? It's over. All the fun's gone. Now you're doing my show.
Now you get to go on to Never Ending Story 2, and that's just sad.
We're not doing that minute by minute, but we hopefully by the time this is out, we will have done a few episodes where we break it down in chunks.
Yeah, I think we're going to do some one-offs. Chris and I have lots of different varying things, and we just want to get a group together of MXM, Movies by Minutes people, and just kind of talk about fun stuff. Mogwai Minute did that recently. This minute is minute 77, and it begins with Claire whispering, I'm sorry, and ends with an awkward kiss on the cheek.
So that's the understatement of this minute.
Yeah, my first note is, this whole minute is upsetting.
All right, so I need a little clarification from you guys here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why exactly... this is going to sound like I'm stupid because we talked about this yesterday, but why exactly is this a clue? Like, was Jim not supposed to be in this room and he was, or was not supposed to be where the Bible was found and he was?
No, it's because the Bible was in the, he took it from the other safe house, just happens to be the one that he was using. But at the same time, it's got all of the, he's using it for the quotes when he's reaching out to Max.
Right. But just, do you see where what I'm saying here?
No, like, I get what you're saying. It was confusing the first time I saw it.
Perfectly relevant choice of Jim's to bring a Bible with him. And yes, he stayed at the Drake. That doesn't necessarily say I'm evil.
Yeah, especially because it was in his safe house, right?
Right. Exactly. It was his safe house. He was there and the Bible was there. That just says that maybe he brought it with him. He stole the Gideon Bible.
But why would he bring it? I guess it's because it was like the week before they showed up in that safe house that all of a sudden Jim decided to bring a Bible with him.
I guess,
Thomas, yeah. I think you found something that, you know, doesn't happen that often on the show. You found a weak link in the script again.
Not home.
I don't think that the Bible is important. I think that the Bible is for us to have some connection to why he picked Job as his name. And because even Max says he didn't quote scripture. So there was no reason for this Bible to, one, be there, two, be from Chicago, three, be stamped by the Gideons, except for us, the audience.
Exactly.
And for Ethan to connect the idea of, well, maybe it was Jim who did this, you know?
I mean, he should have been on Claire since the beginning of the movie when she showed up alive.
Right.
But instead, they're like, no, let's hit him over the head with it. There's also, because at this point, Claire could be the bad guy by herself.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
That would have been awesome.
If she double-crossed Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's fallen in love with Ethan over the past 3 days.
They've worked together before, I assume, though.
Yes, they have. So. And it's implied
That would have been a good one, because then, you know, it was the whole affair thing maybe would have worked at that
How
point.
How great would that have made this movie if she at the end was the bad guy?
Right, and he was clueless. She shot everybody. And
yeah, now, and if this movie was made nowadays, that would be the plot. But
can you imagine? the reveal when they show her standing on the bridge shooting Jim, when they show her blowing up the car from far away with
Hannah.
Hannah. With Hannah in it. And her also helping, maybe even stabbing Sarah.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
Hey, maybe it'll all come together and fall out, you know, because they did say that it's about all the things that he's done from all the movies coming back together.
I don't know if Claire made it out of the first movie.
Hey, anything's possible.
Mission Impossible.
It is Mission Impossible.
Yeah, this is the, I was wondering, guys, do you think that this is the moment where Ethan knows Jim is Job? Or do you think in later minutes, we'll actually see him kind of working through this? Because wheels go off here in a few minutes after Thomas's minutes this week, it goes off the rails for a few minutes. So I was wondering right now, as a character, is Ethan already put it together?
No, I think he is.
Says later on in the movie, this is where he put it together. But I don't know if that's actually true.
I think it's like the point where he starts to figure out something's not right.
Right.
You know, or it may be Jim. But I think when Claire says, I'm sorry, that's when he's like, well, maybe it's her. Or maybe it's both of them, or maybe it's something.
I don't think he's a maybe at that point. I think he knows Claire.
I think he knows Claire is involved, especially at that point. Because
he says, she says, I'm sorry, and she's talking about Krieger.
But he's hearing it in his head as,
I'm sorry, I had to.
Screwed you over.
Yeah, and he's like, you had to do what you had to do.
Yeah.
And she just goes way overboard with this, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she's supplicating herself to him pretty badly, looking down as she approaches him like a dog who's just peed on the floor or something.
Now, I remember the first time I saw this, I thought that this was going to be the big reveal here, that she was the bad guy. And of course,
yeah, have her go in to take her hand and lightly brush his face and then pull a gun out and be like, I need you to give me that knock list right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Luther standing in the corner like, what is going on?
Yeah. And then she disappears.
Yeah, that would be
awesome.
We should write a movie,
I love this
guys.
Movie, but I think we've made this movie better by having a female protagonist.
Skydance, if you're listening, or Tom Cruise or J.J. Abrams, we'd like to pitch for the seventh movie.
The fifth, the sixth, the fourth, the fourth.
Whatever the next movie is after this one.
The next trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where Tom Cruise is actually the Jim Phelps.
Ooh. You find out Tom Cruise was actually a woman the whole time.
No.
He just reveals it, pulls off his mask.
Yeah. He was actually Claire the whole time, and Claire was him in the first movie. Right. And they actually killed Ethan off the first movie, and the whole time since then, it's been her pretending
Ethan
to be
Ethan. In the car in the explosion.
Yep. For the rest of this movie, I am instigating Claire Watch.
Claire Watch.
Claire Watch is going to be, we are going to keep our eyes on Claire as both viewers of the movie and in the shtick that we don't know what's going to happen.
Claire Watch 2018 sounds like a hurricane watch.
It does. Yeah. Watch out for Claire. Here she comes. She's coming to get you.
She's become a category 4 in this instance.
She kisses Tom Cruise on the side of his cheek, and it is more awkward and creepier than Mouth Thumb was.
She almost does Mouth Thumb
way
too,
back
though.
way back in minute, what, 3?
Yeah. She starts to bring that hand up with the thumb close to his lips. I'm just like, no!
Yeah, this would have been better if she had just kissed him straight on the lips. This makes no sense.
Yeah. I've come up with a new phrase. This kind of kiss is called face lips.
Face lips. Oh.
Face lips.
It's different than mouth thumb. Mouth thumb is something that a male does to a female coworker. Face lips is what Claire does to him in this scene.
and the look on Cruz's face when she's kissing him like that, he's like, the severe disappointment in his face and upset is pretty obvious at that point.
Well, she kisses him, and then if you watch his hand, he actually takes his hand from his cheek and moves it like he's moving the kiss to his own lips.
Yeah.
Right. And
like he wants it to be on his lips. And now he's in such a weird pickle because he's now also figuring out that she's probably bad and she's kissing him.
There's another maneuver here that you guys don't want to miss. And that's the triple neck pinch.
Yeah.
That she puts on the back of his neck. Head.
Yeah.
It's not the ball pin, it's the triple neck pinch.
Yeah. It's pretty intense, pretty serious. She's like, ah.
She's like digging her fingernails into the back of his neck.
Well, it's like she's smelling his essence. Like it's one of those type of
sucking his soul.
Stealing your soul.
I mean, I know that jacket's probably pretty soft, but... And, Thomas, you brought this off mic, but Luther in the background is great this minute.
Oh. Yeah, he's just like, he's just sitting there.
He looks up, he's like, oh, get some.
But he's also like, this is wrong. I can't watch this.
Yeah, he puts his head down like, oh, I'm playing with this walkie-talkie. Nothing's happening here. I've seen nothing.
It's like he's seen his mom and his grandma kiss on the lips. It's just not right. No. Was that a tongue? No.
There's another moment of, I think this is the second moment of realization for Ethan, where he realizes something is wrong with the way she kissed him. I guess that's what they're trying to show here. That's my only idea is that he's thinking something feels wrong about this, and that's why he feels the need to touch his cheek afterwards.
Well, here's my practical question. We know that Jim and Claire are in on this, and they're planning to murder the IMF team, sell the knock list, and disappear. How long has Claire been dropping these type of hints and flirting with Ethan in this way? How long has she been laying the groundwork for this?
Yeah.
Because it seems like she's trying to ramp it up to a fever pitch right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because women know that men can't think straight if there's a tail on the line.
Well, and she even says, I'm going to go lay down.
Do you want
sleep.
To I mean, join
she's,
me?
She is trying to lure him in.
Honeypotting.
She is honeypotting him.
Yes.
But then I also wonder if she was doing the same thing to Krieger at some point.
He smells like dead rat and cheese.
I mean, if we're going to talk about gross relationships, just Jim and Claire is kind of gross.
You know what? We've discussed this before. We thought it was his daughter at first until it was proven to us that it was his wife.
It had the same last name. Maybe it's his daughter, you know? That would have been fine, but
that would have worked. That would have totally
worked. Then you would have had the big reveal at the end that she wasn't really his daughter, but she was his wife.
Oh.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, or she was both.
She was both. The Chinatown ending. Hey, it was written by Robert Towne. It was written by Robert Towne who wrote Chinatown, so you know. It very well could have been at one point.
Ah, forget it, Ethan. It's Mission Impossible.
So yeah, you can tell he's running some kind of scenarios through his head. He's trying to wrap his head around the whole situation.
Yep.
As an audience, are we supposed to know that this has gone south and that it's that Claire's in on something?
When I saw it the first time, I felt that it was something was going on at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know that we're supposed to have the complete understanding, but I think this is one of those moments where on a second watch through, you say, oh, here's where he really got it.
And the scene on the train with Jim is literally the duh moment. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's like, they're like, well, we have to have something. That's where Tommy Paramount said, hey, we got to make sure that's in there.
Yep. We want to pull it off together.
Just for that person who doesn't get it. I'm Tommy Paramount. My parents started this place.
Tommy Paramount. He's your new guy, huh?
Tommy Paramount.
No, see, Tommy Paramount only got it out of, you know, nepotism. He doesn't really know what he's doing.
It's not nepotism. My dad built that mountain. My grandfather. My great-grandfather. How old's Paramount? If it wasn't for my family, you wouldn't have Coming to America and other movies that use the Paramount logo.
Yeah, Tommy Paramount sounds a lot like Pinocchio from Shrek.
No Transformers for you.
You stop it. I'm Tommy Paramount.
Saw your nose is getting bigger.
No. So all my impressions are just bad impressions of other things that are good impressions.
Yeah, Tommy Paramount could have sounded like Al Pacino as well, or Joe Pesci.
Well, no. Brian De Palma sounds like Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and sometimes vaguely Mexican.
Exactly.
He's kind of... I lose him a lot. But not me, Tommy Paramount. I'm super easy to do.
Oh, goodness.
All right, well, I guess it's time for taking the app, isn't it, everybody? I'm Tommy Paramount. I've taken over this podcast.
All right, I got some tech of the app for you guys. How about the ancient tech of the light switches by the door?
Oh, come on.
The huge buttons.
What? Oh, the old Euro buttons?
Yeah. Bloop, bloop.
They look like buzzers almost because they're so big.
Exactly. They're the size of your fist. Okay. So if you really want to turn the light on hard, you just punch it.
Never punch a wall.
Punch a light switch instead.
I'm going to go with, it's hard, but right at second 55, I can see Luther's. Didn't we do the, we already did those glasses,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes, we did do the glasses. The thing.
Damn it.
That's nothing wrong with that, so you could do them again.
There's the weird way the clock face is off of the clock.
Yeah, what's going on with that clock? That clock is broken. I was looking at that. There's like two bars that are probably pipes, and then the face of the clock, like the glass that would go over, so you can't like manually touch the. I almost called them fingers. Clocks don't have fingers.
Hands.
The clock fingers.
The clock fingers.
In the last minute, I actually thought that circular part at the bottom was a cable going into the bottom of the clock. But seeing it now, it looks like it's the glass face that goes over the clock that's like hanging
was
off
that a,
of it.
Was that a goof or is that just?
I think Krieger broke it. He was pissed off.
Well, he didn't throw the disc down that hard.
Maybe no, just in one of his other
the offices fits in of rage. Disarray.
Well, they have not answered their mail in probably, gosh, a day.
Right. Stuff like that builds like up quick, okay?
It's like five pieces of mail. Who cares?
It's all built
anyway.
Obviously,
it wasn't a very good business to begin with.
Well, yeah, okay. It is vacant. Yeah. Touche, Thomas.
They weren't doing all... Those are actually travel brochures.
Thomas Howeth to British travel agency. Drop dead.
Right. Spray
He's painted throwing
on
major
a piece
shade
of cardboard.
Ah, showed
on
you.
Colored mail.
Ugh. I think you're right that the light switch is the only tech in this episode.
I was going with the camera move. That's what I was going with.
Oh,
the shot from the back of Ethan all the way through when it turns towards him and Claire when she walks towards him. It's a nice camera move.
Yeah, it's a dolly. They dolly in and then, into a two shot, and then they actually dolly back out again.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
It's a nice shot.
It's a very nice shot. That's why I was going with that for my tech of the ep.
There is one more. There is the little desk lamp behind Ethan at the end of the minute.
Oh, we love lamps.
We do love lamps.
I love lamp.
Well, you know, Claire is a form of lamp, so.
You might want to get out of here. I think you just killed the guy.
Yeah. So I think we've exhausted the things that are tech in this episode.
Maybe there's some sort of tech that turned Claire into a decent actor in this moment.
Except she's not.
I don't think that. I think this is the first moment where they've been character development.
Yes.
In this entire film, and we're in minute 77, and they actually put something into the script for her to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's the right person for this part through the entire movie, but she's not been given any part, so I can't blame her for that. This is a great scene
because
it shows a lot of acting chops on both Tom Cruise and on Emmanuel Barre.
Yep.
Luther, Ving Rhames is Ving Rhames. He's just standing in the background, not looking at, making eye contact. That's great. Yep. But, yeah. You know.
Just seem awkward in the back, Luther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to pretend you see, but you don't see.
Well, the advent of electricity is always a good tech of the app.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And dollies. Dollies are good. So that's a great place to end Tech of the App. This minute had a lot. It didn't have a lot of tech, but it did have a lot of character development. And I think that we've gotten to a point where Ethan's going to have to make some decisions in the next few minutes. Hopefully we'll find that out in minute 78. We will strap Thomas back down to his chair for tomorrow. Thomas,
can you get the knots tighter this time? I really
tighter?
The blood circulation to stop.
No problem.
All right. And if you're going to use a cat of nine tails again, make sure it has glass in it, please.
Oh, my God, gotcha. Thomas.
Hey,
Thomas,
we want to be enjoyable
revealing
for
a lot
everybody,
about himself.
Okay? Don't be so
Minute
selfish.
Impossible brings out, Minute Impossible brings out the best in everyone.
gonna wrap our hands in glass like Liam Neeson in that movie with the wolves, the gray.
Yeah.
Oh, Dark Man?
Yeah, Dark
you
Man.
Said
yeah,
that's
it.
Glass. I thought
Rob Roy.
I thought Bloodsport.
Taken.
Kumate. Well, speaking of bizarre connections, you can make bizarre connections with us every day at the Impossible Minute Force. That's our Facebook group. Please join us there. Or on Twitter at Min Impossible, MIN Impossible. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
And I've been Thomas. By the way, guys, this minute will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3.
What?
What?
Oh!